Good morning.
Morning.
God's peace and His joy and His love to you. All right, we look at Mark 13, and today the theme is, watch out. I don't know how many parents use Santa Claus as a ploy for good behavior. We had a little discussion about that at Touchstone in one of our staff meetings a few weeks ago around the Christmas time, and they were debating whether it was a good thing to use Santa Claus in discipline. Like, you better be good, or Santa Claus is watching, you better watch out, you better not pout, you know the saying, right? And we had one little guy who actually started crying and started getting mad at Santa Claus and was ready to write him a letter and say, Santa Claus, it is not fair how I hear about you all the time and I have to be good 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I think you should give me a break. I still should get my presents. Well, Jesus here, not kidding, talks about and warns his followers, his disciples, to watch out. And it all started when, as the disciples and Pastor Rick's been talking about this, they have moved from Galilee to Jerusalem, right? The last week of Jesus' earthly life, before he's going to be crucified and die for the whole sins of the whole world, right? And he's having various sermons, and this one's called the Sermon on the Mount, not the Mount of where he talks about blessed are the poor in spirit. This is called the Sermon on the Mount of Olives. And so they're on the Mount of Olives. They're overlooking this beautiful, ornate temple where the stones are like 40 feet tall. And when the sun would shine on the temple, it would be dazzling. And so it was the landmark of the whole area. And the disciples, being kind of country boys, and now in the big city for the first time in a while, they'd been there other times for like Passover, but they just were going like, wow. It's like when I went to New York, the one and only time, obviously people could tell I was a tourist because I'm gawking at the buildings like this, you know, and made me a mark for a pickpocketer probably, but I was just going, wow, this is pretty cool. And that's the way they were here. They were just awed at the temple. And Jesus wanted to change their focus of attention and awe from a building made by men to God, right? So they're just gawking at this beautiful temple. And Jesus says, do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Now, Jesus went later on this week when he was being held on trial. one of the things that they threw at Jesus in the trial was that this man said that he was going to destroy the temple in 3 days, raise it up again. And he was talking about his own body, not the building. But Jesus is prophesying here in other prophecies that Jerusalem will be totally destroyed because of the rejection of him, and that the temple would be destroyed, and it would be an awful time, and more will be talked about that next week. But here he says, you know, you think this is all that, the building? It's not the building. And there are other churches where they focus so much on the building. Brides will have their weddings planned at this church for only one reason, because that's a very long aisle. And they think, oh, I can walk a long way, and all the people be noticing me, and the steps are ornate, the altar's ornate, and the pastors are in robes, and it's beautiful, and everything's perfect, and the limousine will look so beautiful pulling up the parking lot of this church. Well, we don't have to worry about that out here, right? I mean, we got a nice parking lot, but it's not like, it looks very nice, but it's not like people go, wow, let's have this on the cover of magazines, you know. And yet that's what some people look for a wedding or whatever, or join a church that's known, that's the in church. It's the place to be seen and have your Starbucks and be entertained. And we can just hear Pastor Rick getting on that, right? Rightfully so, that that's not what the church is about, is it? It's about God's Word. It's about God's presence and His Spirit. And you can have a hut in Africa would have tremendous anointing of the Holy Spirit and have a grand cathedral of people parading around in all their finery and not even have the Spirit of God present. And it's God's Spirit, right? It's God's presence. It's Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, being glorified. When we lift Him up in worship, what happens? Everything changes. The atmosphere changes. The thermostat, we are the thermostat. We should change the atmosphere as we come into worship. And it's not my fault it's cold. I like it cold, but I did not turn them down on purpose. They're not working, so they will be fixed. So don't blame the preacher for the temperature here. But we are responsible, all of us, for the spiritual temperature in the church, and not just the pastor. I've noticed, like today, when we come together and worship, it changes everything. It really does. And conversely, I've been in churches where you could hear this, you know, and like, hello, anybody home? And there was just no energy, and it's just kind of dead, right? Flat. So worship changes the atmosphere. But anyway, the focus is on God, not on buildings or people, right? So Jesus once again tries to change the focus of his disciples from things they can see, things they can touch, things they're impressed with that are man-made, to God, from man to God. He's always trying to get their focus on that. And once they got the Holy Spirit, as we're looking in the book of Acts in our Bible studies on Wednesday night, what a difference. What a difference in Peter, James, and John and others, right? Just amazing. Last week we talked about the difference. What about you? What difference is there in your life? Well, a lot of you can shake your head and say a lot of difference, right? A lot. God has done an amazing renovation and remodeling and restoration work in all of us. And we thank God for that, right? We really do. I mean, He takes impossible situations and turns it around. So we give glory to God. The game last night, we were trying to not lose hope, but it was looking pretty bad there. And then, oh my goodness, what happened? It's like, yeah, right, that's right. He took over the game, yeah. And it's interesting how everything can change. Can go one direction and things can totally change. But especially with Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes in, He can change everything, and just like that, right? And for eternity and forever. Amen? Hallelujah, yes. So, Jesus is sitting down on the Mount of Olives with His leaders, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and they say, Jesus, tell us, our little inner group here, tell us what's going to happen here. We want to know the future. It always surprised me, I think it's on 59th Avenue here, psychics, and that people waste money on these places. They get the gaudiest looking entrances, you know, and psychic with a neon sign, you know, as though I'm going to go there, pay money. Then it's kind of like they can read you. They look at your personality and say, oh, you've had some tough losses in your life. Oh, who hasn't? You've had some major disappointments. And you've been hurt in love. You've been hurt with other people, by other people. And you're going through some many, very severe challenges. And then they're just kind of like, whatever. Does Jesus want us going to a fortune teller?
No.
No. I had someone at the store. I was trying to get my tea, right, like I always do, going to my favorite place to get that. And the line was like 3 times longer. You can probably guess why. The lottery, yes. I just want my iced tea. I'm not counting on William winning billions of dollars, whatever the heck it was. And I thought, why do people go more often if it's, what was the highest amount? I don't even know. Okay, I'll get a ticket for that, but if it's just 1 million, whatever, it's not worth it. I don't get the mentality. I don't get it. But anyway, yeah, the tithe would be nice, yeah. But anyway, it's interesting what people's focus is and how everywhere I went, people were talking about this. I go, this is crazy. Everybody was talking about and their hopes, and they're all planning on what they're going to do the next day when they won. And even on the radio, they talked about the next day, then after that was announced. Well, here we are at work. Oh, like you really planned you weren't going to... Would you give 2 weeks' notice you're going to leave, right? Yeah, that's blind faith, right? It really is. Our faith is not misplaced in someone like that or something like that. It's in the Lord. Well, anyway, the disciples wanted Jesus to tell them the inside information, some inside trading. But tell us what's going to happen here. And Jesus is a master, and Pastor Rick and I both agree that Jesus will take like a telescope view of the future, and he'll start with something that's going to happen nearer, and then he'll expand it all the way out, and he won't tell them when it's going to happen. So they think they're getting this inside information. But what Jesus is trying to get across is be ready now and be ready then. I'm not going to tell you exactly, because he said even the Son of Man, while he's here on earth, doesn't even know the hour. Only the Father does. And you got all these crazy preachers on TV who think they know it all, but they know more than Jesus, and they're going to tell you, and they have all these charts, and when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and the rapture is going to happen like this, and they got it all figured out. And Jesus says, have I got a surprise for you? And he's not talking about it. He's not telling about it, but all these preachers supposedly in his name are going on and on. The point is to watch out and to be ready. Because he is coming soon. I love that song. Yeah, I love it. He is coming soon. And the point is, are you ready now? If you were to come right now, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, come on, hurry up. But Jesus also had a warning that some things will not be so perfect. And as Pastor Rick talked about, not everything in the Word is something we want to hear. Not everything about this world is something we want to experience. I still will never forget my kids over and over going, Dad, that's not fair. And they turn that word fair into like this long of a word. And I go, I know. Get used to it. Life isn't fair. And it's not, right? Well, how come you gave it this to her, not to me? And man, it's not fair. And that's just the way it is, right? And a lot of things Jesus talks about here, he tells the truth. He's not holding back. And he says in verse 5, Jesus said to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Now, we won't ask you to say anything out loud, but have you ever been deceived by someone and taken?
Yeah.
Oh, me too. I'll never forget when I was a young pastor. That's been a while back. I get so many people calling me sir now. Oh, never used to be that way. But anyway, when I was a young pastor, had no gray hair and brand new in the ministry, we had a man who was a very smooth-talking businessman, and he had this organization of fundraising, and he wanted the church to get in on it. And he says, and I'll give you a lot of the profits, Pastor. Just imagine, why, you could have a new church building, and you could have this, and you could have that. And it sounded good at first. And I was a young, naive pastor, and I thought, well, let's think about it. And then we had some very wise people on the council. This is a pastor, so like a Paula. You know, said, that's not going to work, Pastor. We love you, Pastor, but then let's think of this. Yes. And boy, am I glad. Because later on, sure enough, had a lot of church salesmen trying to sell me a bill of goods, fundraising gimmicks, and all kinds of... There's gimmicks all over the place, right? I mean, you name it. So we've all been taken probably from... And it's just so easy to get trapped in all these all the scams on the internet, you know, and, you're going to close down your email account unless you send this in. I guess I better. No, we're watchful. We don't just take everything in. Or somebody from Nigeria has said, well, if you just help me out with a little bit, you know, I'll send you 10 times the amount back. Right. So we have to learn, and we teach our children to be watchful, right? And to watch out for other people. Because does everyone around us, not here, but out in the world, have your best interests at heart? That's what's so safe and loving and secure here, is that you do have people have your best interests at heart. First of all, your God and your fellow believers, where you can tell who you really are and be and feel accepted and loved, right? Which is awesome. You don't have to have your guard up here. You know, In a sense, we do about God's Word. We always want to check with what we say that's with the Word of God. And Pastor Rick wants to do, and so do I, to check with the Word of God. But you can be yourself here and receive from God and then go out and serve, but always being watchful. We're called to love all people, right? We're called to give, but with discernment, right? We are called to have discernment, to ask God, where do we go? To whom do we reach with the love of Christ? And God gives us amazing opportunities, but he calls to us as the disciples, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he, and will deceive many. Think of all the different, Dave Koresh and all these people who led young people and older people too away from the Bible. And they started in the right way, right? They started with the Bible, started with Jesus, and then they started slowly adding things to this word. Then they started adding this, and then they started adding that. And then, oh, by the way, the pastor had more and more authority. Forget the council, forget the elders. It's all in the pastor, because I'm the anointed one, and I can have as many women as I want, and I can do this, and I can spend, and I can have the Cadillac, I can have the limousine, I can do this, because I need it, because God's prospered me, and I need to show how he's prospered, and a bunch of baloney. And then watch out when churches add another book and add something to the Bible and say, well, this is our other book. That's a cult. Any church that says, you have to have something in addition to this is not true, right? This is it. There's no more at Revelation than right here, right? Amen. This is all we need, right? And we get really well fed on this. I love our Psalms Bible class, the Book of Acts on Wednesdays. It's fun. Have great discussion. Well, we had so much going on last Wednesday. We had all sidebar conversations. But that's, everybody was energized and enthused because of this Word. Christy's writing notes, as she is right now, and everybody's really into the Word. And that's what we're called to do, and not be deceived. So if you hear someone on the radio or TV say something that doesn't sound right, what do you do? Go to the Bible and check it out for yourself. Check it out. Don't just say, well, this pastor said so-and-so. I used to get, people would say, Pastor Perry, this great pastor, big name, has a big church and a big salary, and as though we should listen to him just because of that. No. Check it out. Because pastors and preachers are human, and they can try to get into the business world and try to get acclaim and a following, and some have a deceptive heart that really want to deceive people. And there was a youth worker, was it in Mesa? It was abusing the youth of the church. And he's the youth worker, the youth minister. Are you crazy? I mean, it's crazy. And the people go, well, I just couldn't imagine. So we're called to be on guard. And it's sad, isn't it? I love little kids. And I was somewhere, and this cute little gal was just as cute as could be. And I just wanted to just tell her how cute she was, but I thought, no, stranger danger. I really wanted to say something, remark that how well the parents just doing. I thought, no, just leave them alone. But we were taught a touchstone, too, to talk about the fact we always stress stranger danger to our kids. Because some are so loving, they just open up. And you don't want to squash that, but on the other hand, there has to be discernment in our day and age, right? And the same here. We say, oh, I love Jesus, I love God, and I just want to believe and love everybody. We do love everybody, but not believe everybody, right? So we're called to listen to one voice. Not my voice, not Pastor Rick's voice, but whose voice? And as we get to know that voice, we distinctly can hear that voice. Sheep will recognize the voice of their shepherd over time. And so they'll listen for that one voice. And if someone else comes in and tries to lead them astray, the sheep, well, they're kind of dumb sometimes, but over time, if the shepherd's a good shepherd, he will teach them not to listen to any other voice but this one voice. And Jesus uses that illustration and says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, but not just know me, they follow me. Not just get confirmed and know Jesus, but follow him. So are you following God? Are you following him this week? Will you follow him? Amen. So we follow only him. But many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. Is that happening now? Sure. Absolutely. You must be on your guard, like on guard. We're called to be on guard. Because who's out to get us? Satan. And that's not paranoia, but it's true. He has a scheme for you and a plan to destroy you that's different than for me and vice versa. He has different plans for different people. And we have to watch out. We have to be on guard. For the first time last night at the game, this first time I've been to a major event, where I actually, but where I was actually concerned about ISIS, I thought, man, wouldn't that be awful? And I've never had that thought before at a sporting event. I've been to a lot of sporting events, and I thought, man, with the world stage here, and I saw the military out with had their automatic rifles out, and it was like I never thought about that. That what if something like that would happen? And how awful! And isn't that sad? But we're called nowadays to be on the alert. Homeland Security, you know, all of us are called to watch out. And we are taught at Touchstone, if we have a meeting like at a restaurant or an office somewhere, that we always sit near the door. That if someone kind of loses it and just goes berserk, that we have an escape way to get out. And before, when I first started, I never would have thought things like that. But we're called to be on guard, to be ready. And Jesus warns his disciples, you'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. Now these are churches, right? They're going to their old church and being beat up at their old church because the old church doesn't know that they're doing God's will, God's work, and God's way. Have you ever been criticized for doing the right thing and your heart was right? And that's not fair. Well, it's not fair. It's not. And people do misjudge us and misunderstand our motives. And we didn't mean to do something or say something, or we had to do something that wasn't pleasant with our kids or others. And we get criticized and they go, well, you just don't care. You just don't love. We have to have discernment. And we realize that not everybody will like us or love us. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses. They're going to be in front of VIPs with a chance to witness to them about the real power, about the real king, about the real champion, about the real Lord. Amen? And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. The gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. What's the good news? What's the good news? God wins. That's right. That's it. It's God wins. As awful as it can look, as hopeless as it looks like we'll never win, Jesus comes through with his death and resurrection on Easter, and he says, I have won. I have overcome the world. And so because I win, you will win also, right? So God wins is the gospel through Jesus. Amen. Despite all this terrible stuff. And he says, whenever you're arrested, don't think ahead. Worry about beforehand what to say. Just say what is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had a chance, opportunity, where you said something to somebody and you knew it wasn't from you? I know you have. We've talked a lot about that in council and other meetings, right? You go, wow, was that me? where'd that come from? Well, you know where it came from, right?
Hallelujah.
Right. Exactly. And it's so cool when that happens. We listen and we are still. And we listen to that still small voice. And we let that voice speak, right? And they go, wow. And it's not just pastors. We all have that. The Holy Spirit. Daryl, if he were here, he'd talk about Romans 6, 7, 8. And he'd be right over there talking about it. And we depend on the Holy Spirit and CR and other Bible studies and other groups where we depend on the Holy Spirit. And he will give us the words. And sometimes people wonder, well, Pastor, I just don't know what to say when someone's grieving or when they have a death in the family. You don't have to say anything. It's not what you say. It's who you are and just showing God's love. You care, and God cares, right? I mean, really. And so Jesus says, don't worry. Don't get little seminar notebooks. Okay, when they say this, then I will say this. And then read it off to the... No, it comes from the inside, like this flowing fountain inside of the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. So depend on the Holy Spirit. He will not let you down. He will not let me down. No matter what happens around us, the storm around us, we look up. We look up to him. And thanks be to God, right? Because he will. And it talks about even family. Does everybody in your family believe, your extended family, everybody agree with you? And is it always just wonderful? Some of the worst times people talk about are holiday dinners, talking about politics or religion. And we're not talking about religion here. We're talking about relationship. And we're called to talk about a relationship with Jesus, whether it's popular or not, whether it's a taboo. Yahoo, way back around Thanksgiving, had appropriate topics for holiday meals and inappropriate topics. Like, I'm going to ask Yahoo, a bunch of Yahoo's there. Oh, should I talk about this? And it was some of the stuff they talked about was ridiculous. Some shows that are really, really like Modern Family and stuff and all that. I got to talk to my kids about that at a Thanksgiving meal. But anyway, the family will have pressure on it, and Satan's going to try to pull apart the family, and he's going to try to pull apart Christians and separate them, right? But we had to keep looking up, because brother will betray brother. Family or father against his child, and Jesus is straight out here. The people rebel against their parents and have them put to death, and all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Perseverance is important, right? Finishing. Will we finish strong? Will we stay the course? In confirmation, people promise they're going to be faithful to God. Are we faithful to him? Are we going to stay there? Year after year, can people count on you? Can, more importantly, can God count on you? Can he count on you?
Amen.
Amen. And if we fail and fall, we repent and we get back up again and we start up, get back up again. That one song? Well said. Amen. And there's nothing else I can say to that except, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well, we pray, Lord, help us to watch out. Help us to be on guard. But also keep our hearts open to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this place. It's a safe place that we can look at our lives and look at you. Forgive us for many times we become unfaithful, unreliable, or other times we become gullible and listen to everybody except you. Lord, help us to keep your word in our minds and our hearts, to keep your spirit inside us, and Lord, keep guiding us. Lead us, Lord, day by day. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.